Get up in the evening feeling like Craig Thompson. Grab my laptop, set up my mic, I'm gonna rant and rave some. Before I record, grab a glass of Coke and Jack. Cause when we begin recording, I know I'm not refilling that. Talking, previewing all the games, analyzing stats and plays, laughing, poking fun at names. Jeremy reads and quotes Phil Steele zine, pulling up numbers and reads, starting to get a bit off topic, see? What? Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the games not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. We're biased against your team, and we make that clear. Don't get paid, don't ever fade, cause we're already here. Talk about hoops and football, cause we got all the swagger. Sometimes guests come on the show, but we never have Mick Jagger. All the writers cramping up. Matt's throwing his arms up. Kyle's got all the funny stuff. We go until SBN shuts us down, or Mountain West hunts us down. Mountain West shuts us down, nobody's gonna shut us down. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Welcome into the much anticipated, I'll say that, latest Mountain West Connection podcast here. Jeremy Moss, Matt Kennerly. Happy birthday to Chris Hondris, who's having more fun than we are possibly at this
that's
moment.
That's impossible.
We'll get an update for the next one with Chris. He's out there having a good time. Do we know how old Chris is? I'm not sure off the top of my head.
I believe he is 28 years old today.
Oh.
Much younger than I am.
Younger than me as well by a good handful of years. So, yes, Chris is doing something. If he ever updates Twitter, which he hasn't done in weeks, maybe we'll get him to update Greek Padre. Let's just take a quick look right now if he's doing anything.
He should be live tweeting his birthday celebration so that we can be jealous.
Instagram or whatever, something, live video, Periscope.
Yeah, exactly.
Something like that. But you got us two tonight. The website, if you're not familiar, and if you found this without finding our website, congratulations. It's mwcconnection.com, and you're probably just screwing around on SoundCloud looking for stuff that we talk about, so which is football, Mountain West stuff, college basketball. Well, wait, nonsense, then college basketball.
Yeah, exactly.
And number six, well, we have an update. Well, not update. We kind of chill out for Bombas Socks and have an update later on, which is very important, which you'll want to hear. So we'll talk about that later because I got a very important Bombas update. If you check my Twitter, you know what I'm talking about, but we'll see. On the edge of your pants seat, wait till that update later on in the show. But first, it's been a while. How you doing? You're going to see Paul McCartney. How's?
But basically, you know, I won tickets to the concert, but Woo! Yeah. So, but I can't go because that happens to be on the night at which, you know, one of my graduate classes falls. It's workshop night. So I decided to give the tickets to my parents for a number of reasons. One, because my mom is like the biggest Paul McCartney fan that I know. So I called her on the phone afterwards because I thought it was a joke, but I was like, I hope you're sitting down for this. And I made her cry, but she was crying because she was happy. Yeah. So no need to worry about that. And also because it falls on my dad's birthday, which is coming next week too. So for, you know, any number of reasons, logistically and, you know, knowing my parents as well as I do, it just made a lot of sense to make that move.
Did you know what the date the tickets were for, or did you just try to win them just for the heck of it?
I had totally forgotten that it fell on a workshop night. And I mean, because it was one of those Facebook contests where it's like, oh, just leave a comment with your favorite Paul McCartney song and you have a chance to win. And so I was like, well, I kind of like Live and Let Die. And that was all it took.
Is that what you put? I kind of like this song.
Yeah, I was like, it might be kind of cliche, but I like it anyway, so sue me.
Oh, that's a good thing. So winning those type of tickets, it's like the as we go off topic right away, even though we said that's fifth, it's really first. I assume you're familiar with the Kanye West Paul McCartney duet.
I am vaguely familiar with
that. About a year ago, and people who apparently don't know music because they listen to Kanye, well, he has like one song that's okay, I think, one or two. They're like, hey, who's this old guy working with him? He's going to be an up-and-comer. You don't remember this? It was at the Grammys or something last year where there's a duet. And they're like, who's this guy? He's gonna blow up.
I must have missed that. I'm getting old.
It was something about it. I vaguely remember because I saw something again on it recently. I'm like, oh, that was hilarious. I'm like, people, if you don't know who this guy is, come on.
Well, if it was Grammys, that would explain it because I don't pay attention to the Grammys at all.
I think I just saw it on The Soup when The Soup was still around or something. I don't know.
Oh, gotcha.
The Soup. No more Soups. That's the ways I knew about that stuff or knew about the Kardashians or whoever was because it's The Soup. Now, I don't know a thing about it. I'm like, whatever. That's better for me, I guess.
It is better for you, trust me.
But The Soup, well, great show. Great show. But let's move on. Let's get to – so you got the McCartney tickets. So hopefully that gets some karma coming away for something pretty cool down the road because that would be – something good will happen to you. So
fingers crossed, right?
Yeah. Anything you have planned you want to maybe get out of this if something happens? Not necessarily like your parents say, hey, here you go, but just something in the universe you'd like to happen.
Oh, no, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Let's just get to the sports.
Okay, let's get to the fun. What people came to listen for?
Yeah,
not
exactly.
The nonsense?
Our hard-hitting analysis?
Yes, it's been a while. We'll kind of backtrack a little bit. Because you were on our last show. We'll keep this briefly because it was a month ago. Fresno State was in the NCAA tournament, which seemed ages ago. Any quick thoughts on that, or does it matter? It's like, congratulations?
They made a cameo appearance. And
there you go, that's a good way.
I remember writing the preview for, like, how are they going to win this game? And, you know, even though they lost the game, I'm pretty sure most of what I wrote actually happened. Like, I think I wrote that they needed to win the turnover battle, which they did, especially on that run that they had early in the second half where they briefly took the lead. But, you know, give credit to the Utes. They used their height advantage to the fullest extent. You know, they got their 7-footer who hauled in like 37 rebounds or something like that. So, you know, maybe it was a mismatch, but, you know, you can't say that they weren't there part of it. And you can't say that they didn't make it a game.
Well, sure, because you said as well, they're not going to make it easy, and they made that comeback in the second half where it's pretty close.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, they ended up losing by 10 because they kind of faded a little bit late in the second half. But, you know, they were right there, and nobody expected them to be there. I'm sure the Utes didn't expect them to be able to claw their way all the way back. But, obviously, they're not going to be quite the same team next year, not just because they're missing Marvell Harris, but, you know, other guys like Cesar Guerrero are going to be moving on. Julian Lewis, I believe, is also moving on. But, you know, the bright side, Rodney Terry's still there, which I think a lot of Bulldogs fans probably feel better about that than they might have 12 months ago.
Exactly, yeah.
And, you know, I figured that the conference is going to be just about as wide open as it was this year. And I know that they're bringing a lot of young talent. There's a young guy here in town. I believe his name is Bryson Williams. He goes to a high school on the other side of town. And this is a guy that's average. I think he was averaging like 30-something points a game in league. Yeah, he's a guy who can score some buckets. And so, I mean, obviously, I don't know how much playing time he's going to get as a freshman next year. But, you know, Rodney Terry's proven he knows how to recruit. And, you know, he's bringing in recruits in town, which is important, I think. And, you know, I think that the future is as bright here in Fresno in that regard as it is in, you know, other places across the conference.
Such as Nevada, who won the CBI tournament.
Yeah. And I mean, if you think about Nevada, you know, Nevada could be where Fresno State was 2 years ago. If you remember, I think it was 2 years ago where they ended up losing in the finals, I believe. But they went the full 3 games and they were able to use that springboard of experience to kind of grow. So, you know, if you're seeing Nevada in the tournament 2 years from now, don't be surprised.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. And they won the CBI. And here's the thing. Eric Musselman is a heck of a coach. The big draw for him, if you look at all of our archives, there are so many articles about high-level recruits that they normally were getting, JUCO guys, transfers coming in from bigger programs. So this year, the CBI, whatever, you pay your way to get in. But for them, like people are saying, why didn't Boise play? Boise's above that, and they didn't really need to. Hey, should I bring in Chris Hondris? He's calling me on my cell right now.
Hold on.
Hey, Chris, you are talking with me and Matt Kennerly. How's it going?
Good. Wait, how'd you get me online?
No, you just called. I got my mic next to Chris here.
Oh, nice. Am I able to be hearing clearly over?
You could hear. Matt can't hear. You can't hear Matt, but.
Oh, okay.
You got anything quick to say really quick?
I don't know. What are you guys talking about?
Nevada basketball?
That's really good. So they won CBI. Great steps going forward. And looks like they should be a dark horse contender next year in the Mountain West.
You agree with that, Matt?
I don't see any reason why not. You know, it's not only a program that overachieved maybe a little bit this year, but it's a program that's had a recent history of success. You know, it's a program that's been in the WAC or that represented the WAC in the NCAA tournament within relatively recent memory. So, you know, if they can build on this momentum and keep recruiting, bringing in guys over the next couple of years, they're a team that should be a factor in the conference in the foreseeable future.
All right, the important question. Chris, what are you doing?
Right now, I am driving around Encinitas now.
Well, it's your birthday. What are you doing?
Well, I just had some great Thai food.
Excellent.
Brandon and Sandy Higgins listening. I recommend Siamese basil as a great Thai food. Yep, and Encinitas. And I'm about ready to go. We're going to go over to a couple bars, and then I'm going to go home. Probably go sleep.
That's a good choice. Any last words before we continue on?
Yes. When are we scheduled to do our previews? Just so the listeners will know.
After the NFL draft stuff, that's when we'll get to it. So in about a month.
Excellent. Fantastic.
All right. We'll see you later, Chris.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Bye. I'll talk to you later. Yeah. That was an excellent cameo. Could you hear him reasonably well?
I hope he makes good choices.
Yeah, he's going to the bar, so you never know what happens there. I don't know. Whatever.
Always remember to drink responsibly, everybody.
Exactly. So, like, if you heard that, previews in about a month. I was going to bring up the tri-quarterback at New Mexico, but we'll get to that later. And Chris will have a good laugh when he's actually on the show, a bit better to hear. So, it's a good surprise there. That worked reasonably well. Hopefully, you heard him good. But as we're saying, Nevada, they won the CBI, like Chris said, and I said, and you said. The recruiting's there. They have the transfers coming in. Kurt, if you go read, we tweeted out, but go check out Chris Murray from the Reno Gazette Journal. Put out an article about how Nevada could be a front runner. It's not far fetched because, like you said, Matt, it's wide open again. If you look at Joe Lunardi, I know it's super early and they're kind of pointless. April 10th or whatever when this came out, the bracketology 11 teams for the Aztecs, and Fresno won last year, so it's not a shock that anybody who's not the favorite can win. So why not Nevada?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's not like San Diego State, and we'll get to them on the football front as well, I believe. But you know, in the same article that you linked to, you know, Murray points out that they are losing their top, or Boise is losing their top three scorers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, San Diego State's going to be losing Winston Shepherd and Skylar Spencer. You know, both of those guys who were really integral to the Aztecs' defensive success this year.
UNLV will have an intramural squad next year?
Yeah, exactly. You know, Colin Neal is moving away from New Mexico. So, you know, I think when things come a little bit clearer in the months to come, as far as like maybe late recruits, JUCO transfers or whatever.
Or guys rescinding the NBA draft without an agent now, which you can do.
Yeah, exactly. I think
there's a Jalen, the guy from Utah State with the hair, he is also declared, but did not hire an agent. So,
yeah. So, I mean, you know, I think as things become clearer over the months, you could probably talk your way into like, okay, yeah, I could see six different teams winning the conference next year. Because you never know. But that makes it fun.
Yeah, it's not San Jose State yet, for sure. And maybe not Wyoming, because they lost Josh Webb, so. Or not Josh Webb, excuse me, Josh Adams. Webb's from Boise. So it's a decent read. I think Aztecs will be the favorites because look what they've done. But I wouldn't be surprised. Like Fresno got a vote or two, I think one first place vote. Nevada will steal a couple of votes to be first place. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think you're probably right in that.
And speaking of Nevada, let's touch on momentarily their coaching hires over the past couple of days. Oh, man.
Yeah, I was brushing up on our good friend Brandon Blake's article about Ronald Dupree and Jan Hufnagel.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, if you check our comments on Facebook, disregard one person's comments because they apparently don't know what I'm using alleged here because we don't know for sure, but what sexual harassment, or I'll go with harassment as the correct term because I don't know if there's anything more beyond that. Because possibly text messages is all I know at the moment looking over. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter if somebody's touching you, yelling at you over the phone, or texting you nonstop or emailing you. All that could be sort of in that area of, especially with female to male, you know what I mean? Just like for sexual stuff. Mm-hmm. Whatever it was. I don't know what the texts were, but apparently there's something going on that wasn't wanted. And he was going to be fired from Cal. There's a reason he resigned a day before the appeal or whatever the report was going to come out. And he's already a month ago supposed to be going to be fired, but he contested it with Hufnagel. So I don't know what. As for coaching, fine. He's coaching. I know you got to separate him a little bit, but as for coach, he's fine. But a day after he's going to be fired for these allegations against a female reporter, and Eric Musselman said himself, I vetted all this stuff. I'm like, really? I know he's known him for a decade, but this is very questionable on the timing. I just don't think they should have done this at this time.
Well, I mean, you might be right. I mean, he was part of a relatively successful culture at Cal. So, you know, if you want to be one of those people that ignores the allegations and focuses strictly on the on-field or the on-court product, this is probably a good move. But, you know, if you're like a regular person, obviously,
yeah, not a sports fan. It's like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah, this is kind of a disconcerting thing. I mean, at the same time, though, I want to give Musselman the benefit of the doubt, you know, because I don't know off the top of my head whether he's really associated with other questionable, you know, cases or other questionable coaches in the past. Are you aware of anything else like that?
I'm not sure. I just know he's been mostly NBA, so I don't follow NBA assistant coaches. So I don't know. I know he knows this guy for a long time, but as for who he's associated himself with, I've always known him to be like Jim Rome loves having him on his show all the time for interview. That's the most I really knew before. Nothing like personal or assistant coach. It's just that, hey, he's a great interview. I've muscled him all the time. I know he's a pretty good coach, and it was a huge get for Nevada Bass for personal relationships. I'm not sure. It just seems, had this been like 6 months down the road, minimum a year or two, this would have been brought up. But when it's the day before he's going to be fired, and when all these results are going to come out, because we don't know what he did. What I've known, it's just been text messages, which is still can be a big deal, harassing somebody for whatever reason. It throws up some red flags about, like I said, his Musselman's judgment. It's like he says he believes this guy did nothing wrong, but I don't know. I just say it doesn't look good at the moment.
Well, I mean, the other thing you have to imagine, at least, is that, you know, with the, it's so recently.
I guess so. It just seems like the other thing too, it's like, well, we don't know who the female is. It doesn't take more than a few minutes to know who it is because there's only so few female people that cover sports so often in the beat writer. So it's like, All right, there's how many papers in that town? It's like, even though her name's not in there, people know who it is. It's like, It's just we'll see. Yeah, like you said, it's just I just thought the timing was bad, and I don't care how much you vetted him. I don't think it should have been done. But that's like I said, if something, anything close to, even if he's sniffs anything inappropriate, he should be gone or something done swiftly, and not give him like a half a chance. That's about it, I would say. But let me put this into the UNLV coaching search. That just wrapped up too. We'll kind of keep going through. Have you followed what the Board of Regents did for UNLV to hire Chris Beard?
I did not, no.
It's weird because there's a lot of questions with that, and I'm pretty sure there's the Board of Regents don't meet for assistant coaching hirings, mm-hmm. but I'm pretty sure they would have had issues with this because they had a million issues with Chris Beard, who come from Arkansas Little Rock, was finally introduced on Friday, which is April 8th, 2 days ago from our recording, but we knew his salary about a week before, knew about a week before that he's going to be the head coach. And it seemed like people were thumping their chest to make a point out of the head coach who, why are we paying him about $1 million a year for this position? And I just, some of them that voted no were weird because, let me ask you this. You should know, I think you'll know most of this more than the average person, or at least the Regents, they may not be sports people. Their Board of Regents have a lot of responsibilities. Do you have a decent understanding of what the APR is?
Yes, I do.
So explain to people, like, okay, so one of the guys who voted no, there's bonuses tied to APR.
Yeah, that's not altogether uncommon these days.
True, but true. Very, yeah, whatever, graduation rate or something. It's some sort of APR. Yeah, but this is specifically APR. One guy that voted no is because the APR they tied the bonus to was 930. Mm-hmm. This guy wanted 940, which, okay, 10 points doesn't seem like a big deal. However, he was sticking to that because we need academic rigidness. We need good student athletes, which I am all for.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, sorry. I'm getting video, auto video. Damn you. Anyway, continue.
But academic, like, I'm all for academics. Like, I want you to do good. That's the point of going to college and these scholarships. 95% of the people, they're going to education and not worry about sports as much.
Yeah.
That's the reason that helps them out. But we, like we said, we joked before, UNLV hosting an interim real team. Explain to people how APR can be affected by transfers or guys leaving early.
Oh, you know what? that is something I'm not familiar with. So, well, let me just carry on.
No, it's okay. No worries. I'm just saying, but part of the APR is that it's graduation.
Mm-hmm.
So if a guy transfers, even if he graduates at another school, like, who is it? Dwayne Morgan transfer, not sure where. Uh-huh. Say he goes to his next school and graduates. That doesn't count toward UNLV. If anybody goes to the NBA, they graduate, in, I think, within 5 years, it counts. But if they transfer and graduate somewhere else, it doesn't count. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Sorry. I'm just reminded of something I remember reading about how a lot of coaches make a lot of bonuses off the APR. And it was making the argument that APR is really pointless anyway.
It's questionable, but this guy didn't understand that UNLV losing six players, it's going to be nearly impossible to get to that high APR.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to make your bonus impossible to get. You want to make it tough, but losing half your team, it's going to hurt your APR. It's impossible to go up, and some of it's out of your control if you graduate somewhere else.
Well, one thing to keep in mind, I don't know if it applies to basketball as it does to football, but 930 is the minimum, and 930 translates roughly to a 50% graduation rate. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm thinking in terms of, like, as a student, is it as someone who would like to believe in the, the student part of student athlete, like, does it, like, why is it so, why do we settle for the bare minimum? Does that make sense?
It does, but I think a little bit, I don't know as much, I just know a good amount, but part of it is that I think they want you to graduate, but they don't want to make it so tough where you're never going to go to the postseason, you're never going to do this. They want to make it, okay, they understand, that's what they put in, well, it's flawed because if you transfer and that hurts you, that's part of it too, which is weird. It's like, if a guy transfers and graduates, why can't it count for both schools? That's the part of it where I'm like, I don't agree with, where it's like, really? That's pretty crappy or shady to a guy leave school for whatever reason. There's guys who leave for, oh, my parents are sick, I need to go. Like, that's with, I think, Dwayne Morgan's situation. He's from Baltimore. His mom's ill. wants to be closer to home, which is go for it. Excellent. That's what you need to do. Do it. And he say he goes to Maryland or MD Shores or Loyal Marymount in that area in D.C., George Washington or something to play. Mm-hmm. And he graduates. Why does that hurt UNLV?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just to me, I can understand where that board member might be coming from, but that's because I tend to think of it in terms of maybe placing more importance on the academics, even if the measure is somewhat flawed than a lot of other places do or a lot of other people think.
No, that makes sense. I'm just thinking the 10 points and then not realizing, yeah, it is. I finally found 925 is, yeah, 50% expected graduation rate. San Jose State had a year of, what, 807? Jeez, that's ridiculous when they got banned.
And I mean, when you
– But it's just my
I was going to say, when you consider that basketball teams aren't that big, I don't think asking a 50% graduation rate is all that much.
No, it's what, 7?
Yeah.
6.5?
Well, I mean, you figure you got like a dozen people on a team, 12 to 14. So, yeah, somewhere around there.
I just think him stick voting no because of 10 points and not knowing that the score is going to go down almost regardless – And there's other stuff too. Like there's one person who voted no because they stretched to agree to Musselman's $400,000 contract. Mm-hmm. It just seems like they think they have all this importance. I think part of it was they were pissed that the contract was in place, the coach was in place before they officially reviewed the contract in details. Because Chris Beard had to sit in a meeting for over 2 hours while they, like he said, it's like he's on interrogation sitting there, meriting if this guy's worth how much money. It just seemed like it's a weird, and part of it too, I blame UNLV. Look how open the Mick Cronin search was. Every step, if you go to Mark Anderson on Twitter from the Review Journal, he knew every single thing what was going on.
Well, and so it's like, at least.
Well, no, I'm good for him, but I mean, it's so public. And then they got out $3 million per year, Under Armour coming in. It's like, I think they got upset that they didn't have as much control as they thought they have, which. I've never heard of a Board of Regents say no to a contract. You know what I mean? I never really come across that. So,
well, I guess maybe I just sympathize more than the average person.
Well, I'm not saying you shouldn't. I just think his sticking point of 10 points and not knowing it's going down almost no matter what was irresponsible on his part, not knowing the facts.
Yeah, maybe.
So that's what I'm getting at. But it's whatever. Splitting hairs, but I just think it's kind of odd where he doesn't understand that's going down because half their team's transferred. Mm-hmm. And UNLV had zero control over what happens after that. And that hurts them. So that's where the APR set's flawed.
Yeah, that's a fair counterargument.
That's all I'm getting at. But let's move on to fun stuff because who wants to hear about academic or APR for more much longer? Let's get to football.
All right.
I got football. I love football. Football is what we do.
Yes.
You've been to some Fresno State practices. What's going on with them and their new coordinators?
You know what? I only went to the very first scrimmage, which was a few weeks ago. The second scrimmage was on a Friday morning and I slept in because I had to go to work. So, and then the third one, which was the spring showcase, I was down in Los Angeles for a conference. But what was interesting is that, you know, you were seeing a lot of looks that you weren't seeing, you know, in the years past under Dave Schramm on offense. You know, they didn't do a lot with it, but I thought it was very intriguing that they were breaking out certain formations where Chase and Virgil was under center, if you can believe that.
Is he expected to be the starter, I'm assuming?
Obviously, I don't think they're going to announce a starter until like the day of, like they've been doing the last few years, until they kick off in Lincoln in September. But based on what I've been reading and based on what I saw, I think that they want to give him as much exposure to the new offense as possible because he did get the lion's share of this, of the snaps in the first scrimmage that I went to. There was a lot of talk that the defense point at that point was ahead of the offense, which makes a lot of sense considering there's more continuity on defense than there was on offense. Lorenzo Ward has decided to keep the 3-4, you know, the aggression that we've all become accustomed to. But, you know, even if you fast forward to the spring showcase and you look at the numbers that were put up, you know, it was a 90 play scrimmage. And I believe Virgil saw more action than anybody. I think trying to search through this, I wish there was a box score for it. But, you know, he threw a touchdown. He was 13 of 22. And if you compare that to the other guys who were in the game, Ford Childress was 6 for 12, Kilton Anderson was just 2 for 4. So I think they have an idea of what they want the depth chart to look like, but I don't think you're going to be seeing any official proclamations until well into the fall.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, they didn't want to announce too early just because give Nebraska any edge or anything.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the other thing is too is, you know, the same way that they're playing it close to the vest with the quarterback situation, I think one of the things to watch out for is who's going to replace Martez Waller. And what I anticipate, just based off of what I saw, is that they might go back to a committee rotation that they had, you know, when they had Waller and then Josh Quezada. And what they've done in years past, even under Pat Hill, they were used to having two guys who could, you know, take carries. I think there's three guys that could possibly play a role when all is said and done. Bryson Oglesby was a guy who really stood out in that first scrimmage, but he suffered a knee injury and was out for the rest of the spring. And I believe the official word is they anticipate him being ready to go by fall practice. So, you know, he's going to be one part. Dontell James, who's a, you know, local product, who's been very highly regarded in certain circles. You know, he really stood out in the spring showcase. He was, you know, 12 carries, 70 yards and a score. But the one guy I think is going to be really interesting to watch is Deontay O'Neill. I was trying to think of an adjective that would describe, and I would say, you know, he's a lot like Darren Sproles, you know, not only because he's like 5'8", like Darren Sproles is, but, you know, he's got that, you know, the same kind of elusiveness that Sproles has. And, you know, he scored a couple touchdowns in the first scrimmage that I saw. And he's shown a little bit of capability to, you know, catch swing passes and, you know, get to the outside against this defense, which I think could be really useful when, you know, the season rolls around. I think he could be a really important weapon. On defense, I think there's a lot of promise on the outside linebackers, you know, even though the Bulldogs are going to be losing guys like Jared Arayne, there's a lot of young guys who have the potential to step up. One guy that really stood out to me in both the scrimmage I saw and in reading over the spring showcase was James Bailey. You know, he had some looks last year. Tobena Okeke, I think, is going to be one to watch. And I think it's going to be there's a lot of young talent, which I think speaks to, I don't know if anybody read the Bill Connolly preview, but he called Fresno State the conference.
Should have.
They should have if they hadn't. But he called them this conference's biggest wild card. And he saw a wider margin of possibility for them than I saw at first glance. So because there's a lot of young talent that happened to get a lot of exposure last year, it's going to be really interesting to see how they come together once they come back and begin practices next semester.
I think that's true because the West is so wide open because Hawaii's still new head coach. Nevada's probably one of the better teams, I think, but UNLV still coming along. San Jose State losing Tyler Irvin, losing Billy Freeman, losing Cleveland Wallace, a bunch of guys on their side of the ball. It's outside of the Aztecs, and maybe Nevada. I wouldn't be shocked if Fresno finishes third in that division.
It's possible. Yeah.
But then they got, that schedule, we got played at Nebraska, which is difficult. Who else they got here?
They're at Toledo.
They were, 10-1, 10-2 last year?
They were very good last year.
Tulsa could score. Tulsa's not what they were, but they could still score some points.
Yeah.
It's a manageable. I could see 3-1 possibly during that non-conference slate if everything goes to plan.
It really depends on how certain units come together, I think.
Sure, but yeah, Toledo, but also they lost their starting quarterback, so that's a big hit for them. I think I wouldn't be surprised, but at least 2 wins I think they can manage from that part.
Yeah, I mean, well, you were speaking of, you know, San Diego State, and I was looking up some of this because I know that there's been a lot of spring games going around, not just Fresno's. And so I had to look back because I noticed that San Diego State had their
while ago.
Yeah, they had it like 3 weeks or like a month ago, almost 3 weeks ago.
They're in San Diego to start spring ball in February.
That's a little wild, isn't it?
It is very. They're like Duke super early.
But see if you can guess what the headline was for the article on the school's website.
So the dailyaztec.com?
No, just off of Go Aztecs.
Oh, school.
Let's see if you can kind of paraphrase what the headline is.
Rocky Long is adequately satisfied with spring game?
More or less, because it says defense steals spotlight.
Exactly. Oh, I should have got the obvious. Defense always wins the spring game.
Defense, which I think, you know, they're, you know, San Diego State's going to be losing a few guys, but they're bringing a lot of talent back.
However, let me guess. Chapman didn't play. Donald Pumphrey didn't play. Starter A, B, and C in the offensive line didn't play.
Actually, it looks like Chapman played. He just didn't do a lot of throwing.
Chapman. Well, that's the norm, right, for this offense.
But they, you know, it looks like they had you know, two guys splitting the majority of the carries, Jimmy Walker and Ryan Agnew. They were 10 for 23 with the interception, I believe.
It's whatever. It's spring stats. It's more like who's going to play, who's not, like who's going to position battles. Aztecs, they bring back nearly everybody. And not to start the hype train now, but I'm going to start the hype train now saying they should be the number one team. Well, sorry. Houston Cougars, number one team. Number two team to go to a New Year's Day bowl game, in my opinion. They should be that high. They should be preseason ranked. They won't. They should be the Mountain West preseason champ. I'll give 50-50 shots, but they should be, in my opinion, to start the season, they should be top 20, in my opinion, but they won't be for sure.
Well, I mean, they get a lot of their toughest games at home, I think. You know, it helps to get the opener or the second game against Cal at home.
Without Jared Goff.
Yeah, they get Colorado State, I think, might be their toughest interdivision. They get that game at home.
Oh, and also with Cal, their OC went to Middle Tennessee State, so new OC, new quarterback as well.
Yeah, so I mean, so, you know, one of the things I keep telling myself is don't read too much into the numbers from a spring game.
Modified scoring as well.
Yeah, don't that too. That. But I mean, it's going to be really interesting to watch to see how much the offense can come together when we know that the defense is probably going to be, if not the best, among the best in the conference.
Yeah.
Because they,
I think it,
apparently they did a lot of work. Let's see how many sacks they racked up in the spring game. Three.
Well, I know they have six starters back on defense. They have defensive player of the year.
Okay, if I'm reading if I'm reading this correctly, they had 3, 6, 8, 10, 11, 12, 13 sacks. That can't be right. They had 13 sacks in the spring game. Oh, yeah, it says in the opening, in the lead paragraph, they posted 18 tackles for loss, including 13 sacks. I think the defense is probably going to be just fine.
So you got plenty of spring games going on, not just Fresno, not just San Diego State. You got Utah State. New Mexico's practicing. There's an Air Force spring game, but I have no updates at the moment because, well, the Colorado Springs Gazette does not do a bunch of updates.
You know what? I was looking too. The one thing they talked about on, if anybody wants to look for the story, it's KOAA.com.
Ah, that's a good place too.
Yeah, they did a lot of focus on Air Force's two young quarterbacks, Pete Davis and Ryan Brand. Apparently, they got a lot of work in on the spring game. And I guess as far as Troy Calhoun is concerned, I think he was pretty pleased with both.
Don't they still have, I should know this, but isn't the starter from last year still back?
Yeah, I believe it's Carson Roberts, isn't it?
I got to check. Or is it Nate Romine?
I forget who it is. It's a lot.
We'll find out. Air Force. There's a lot of guys.
Air Force QB1.
There you go. From NCAA 14.
Exactly.
The Air Force is the same. There is not a. It's what they are. As long as they have good backups and decent running games, they're good. They're gonna. I did like Bill Connolly though. He thinks they have a chance to do pretty well, better than last year, which was. Well, maybe not better than last year with the title game, but he. Maybe I'm thinking a different team as I'm not reading it, but whatever. Air Force will be fine. We don't need to talk about them because sorry. Well. Now it sounds rude and disrespectful to the Falcons and the Cadets.
It's Nate Romine, by the way.
Oh, okay. That's okay. Yes, Nate Romine. So I was correct on that. I got one right. He'll be good. Their quarterback play is important. They'll have a running back. Their spring game, we'll update when stuff comes around. There was Utah State had a spring game where, of course, the modified scoring helped the defense be victorious.
No surprise there. Right?
Even though they're losing Kyler Fackrell, Vigil, multiple players again. It's going to be, even though It's not officially. Kent Myers is the quarterback. He's the guy, so no need to worry about that. They need to replace Hunter Sharp. They have a good running attack. I think Utah State could bounce back a little bit from what they have been, actually. Really, yeah, I guess last year, six or seven wins wasn't that good.
Yeah, I think they'll be helped by the fact that they have don't they have most of their secondary coming back?
I believe so.
And I think if you're in a division that, you know, features Colorado State and Boise State at the very least, you know, having some veteran presences back there, like guys like Devin Centers, who I guess had an interception in the spring game.
Of course.
You know, he's, you know, a guy like that is going to be really important for the Aggies going forward.
There was an issue with, okay, it is special teams, but a missed 35-yarder and a 51-yarder blocked on field goals.
Oh.
And, yeah. There's also Alex Serreta, who will be a pretty good linebacker, should step up and get some stuff. But it's a spring game. It's, as Coach Wells says, it's a work in progress. We're good right now. I think we have a chance to be good. If we want to be great, we'll see how we do in the summer in training camp. Ultimate coach speak right there.
Yeah.
Ultimate coach speak, which tells you nothing. I guess the big deal was that the defense was so overwhelming to the offense because Kent Myers are good. Who's your running back? DeJuan Hunt?
I believe so.
Yeah, DeJuan Hunt there. They did that well. And the defense losing so many. They'll be fine. I think 7 or 8 wins is probably where they're going to be at. But it's... The Mountain Division is so difficult. It depends who they get at home and all that type of stuff. But one interesting guy, freshman QB Jordan Love, did pretty well in his limited action. So, but you got him. You got Damien Hobbs is going to be the backup. So Love will be the third string. But I know some people want Hobbs to be the QB, but I don't think he will be. I think it's going to be Kent Myers.
Well, I can tell you there's a lot of people around here that are disappointed that Love got away.
See a Fresno commit or possibility?
He's a Central Valley product at the very least.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, so there's some disgruntlement about that. And if we're talking about other quarterbacks from the Central Valley, you might want to think about Josh Allen as well up in Wyoming, who apparently he had a pretty good spring practice or a spring game as well. You know, 2 touchdown passes. Apparently that was like the first showcase that Wyoming's had in like the 2 years that Craig Bohl has been in charge or something like that.
Why is it not snowed? Did it not snow this time?
Well, I mean, I don't know, but apparently it was like the first, like kind of the first showcase of that kind that Wyoming has had. But, you know, just, you know, looking over the thing, apparently Sean Wick looks like he's, you know, back to his old self, which could be important. You know, him and Brian Hill are going to be very important to that team's success. You know, I think
that could be the best combo.
Possibly, right? Yeah.
Combo. Boise State will have McNichols and somebody, but.
Yeah, and yeah, apparently, you know, Tanner Gentry, and Jake Mulhart, both guys who had solid seasons last year, they both scored touchdowns in their spring game. And apparently, they, you know, one guy to watch if the numbers here are any indication, or Kevin Prosser. Because he had a couple of sacks in that game as well.
Also, wasn't there, I was looking around, wasn't there a basketball player turned wide receiver on this football team now?
There might have been. I thought I saw something about that. I thought it was at Boise State.
No,
somebody who played baseball at Boise State.
No, that's Boise State. That's Boise State. He's going to be a starter. Linebacker, okay. Most likely. Here it is, yeah. Wyoming point guard Austin Conway transitioning into football mode.
There you go.
There it is. Yeah, the guy for Boise, he's looking at his numbers. He played like in low A ball. So it's like, yeah, take a year or two off from the Cubs, play football full time and see what you can do.
Yeah, but obviously, you know, Wyoming spring game, just to kind of wrap that up real quick, I guess their spring game's not for another couple weeks. But, you know, fans up there in that neck of the woods, they definitely want to keep an eye out for that.
Exactly. And then let's go. Since we chatted about Boise, they had their spring game. Did you know Coach Brian Harsin blocked me on Twitter, apparently?
Yeah. I wish I knew why. Apparently, he hadn't blocked me yet, so I must be doing something right.
But our website account is good and clear, despite his replying to me saying, Coaching 101, boys. You got to have a QB competition.
Yeah, well, you know, he might have been onto something because, you know, the link that you sent me said that the offense kind of got off to a sluggish start during the spring practices.
Well, the spring game, it was ripping head led 3 of the 4 touchdown drives on Saturday. And I get what he's doing, but it's Rippon's job to lose. He's a starter. There's no way around it. It's like, he's the starter. I get competition, all that, but he's your starter. He's the only freshman ever in the conference to win first team quarterback. So it's like, you're going to bench the first team quarterback? The best quarterback in the conference you're going to bench? Really?
Yeah, I suppose you got a point. Well, and it's, you know, for everybody else in the conference who's sick and tired of Boise, you know, the article that also mentioned that, I guess, Spurback and Chaz Anderson didn't play. But, you know, they had other guys step up. Like A.J. Richardson had 6 catches. What's the guy's name? I'm seeing his last name, Mobster.
Oh, Mobster. Oh, yeah. So I put in the Mobster and he had 3 catches, 79 yards. So,
yeah, they're going to have playmakers again,
yes,
much to the dismay of everybody else in the conference.
Yeah, Rippon was 20 of 37, 234. Both touchdowns to Mobster. So, but you know, Spurback playing. That's why I really want to see a Boise San Diego State title game, because they don't play in the regular season again, I believe. Yeah, because it's
not this year. No,
next year they go back. But like I said earlier, I still think San Diego State should be the best team. Boise's offense, they lose your coordinators again, OC and DC. We'll get into the previews later on, but now not today, obviously, but in a month or two.
Yeah,
they have the new coordinators. Their offense will be the best in the conference, I'm pretty sure. I'm 90% sure. I don't see anybody else having anything close to them. But defense, they lose a lot. Like, you lose Correa's out there. You lose half their secondary. Darren Thompson, Dante Dion are gone. Bunch of guys are leaving to go to the pros and graduating. Mm-hmm. But I think their offense could be something special. So seeing them versus San Diego State, that'd be a good one.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're with the, you know, transition on the coaching staff that you're talking about, I think that Broncos fans can be encouraged by the fact that, you know, at least at the quarterback position, if nothing else, that, you know, Rippon is acclimating nicely to whatever changes there might be.
Yeah, Rippon's there. It's still Harsin's offense, essentially, so that's the main thing. It's not like it's a coach like Rocky. Well, yeah, I guess Rocky Long, like, if he were to leave, the defense could be that different. It's like, or something like that, where a coach is strictly an offensive coach or defensive coach.
Yeah.
And so, like, if, say, Harsin was the defensive coach and the offense changed, there could be an issue, but it's not. He's the offensive guy.
Yeah.
So that's where I think, if that makes sense, that's kind of where I'm getting at. It's the same things in place. So, UNLV, let's go to UNLV really quick. Theirs got cut short because of one of those random Vegas floodings through a flash flood, through a quick thunderstorm.
No.
So apparently Kurt Paladek is looking good to be the potential starting quarterback, who we saw last year, who kind of came in to be kind of the change of pace running guy, short yardage tossing passes coming in for Blake Decker.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it did him any favors to have to come off the bench cold, you know, because Decker was, you know, intermittently injured throughout the year. So to be kind of thrust into the fire like he did, it kind of, you know, makes sense that the offense wasn't as explosive as they would have liked it to be. So I think it's an encouraging sign that Palandek, at least for one afternoon, looked pretty solid. You know, he was only 3 of 6 for 42 yards, but he did have a touchdown. They do have guys like Devontae Boyd coming back. So, you know, and that's one of those things, again, where, you know, if they have continuity under center, then that can give them a leg up relative to other teams in the division, I think.
Yeah, they have a couple of guys like the JUCO. Johnny Stanton did okay. I just think that him being around gives him the edge. He got also Lexington Thomas looks pretty good. He's more of a running guy than that's running back. Apologize. Wrong position there. But I know they brought in a talented freshman who they say he could compete. I think it's got to be most likely Paladek just because he's been around. It's not clear if it's going to be him or the Stanton who came in. I think they'll be okay, but if they can find a running back, like you said, Boyd, if you need the guy who get to Devontae Boyd, he's going to be in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
That helps you quite a bit, whoever's the quarterback. So, and it's just, it's hard to know what they did the spring game. It got cut short because lightning as well. You also got Brandon Paisley, pretty good receiver, 59 yards on a couple of catches. Boyd only caught 2 passes, probably just kind of hanging out, really. Mm-hmm. And so And then the one big guy, receiver, could be big. They finally got a Bishop Gorman guy in town, Tyjon Lindsey. And so he could be a guy that could step up either this year or next year. So it's hard to tell the cut short, but the main thing with them was finding QB to replace Decker. UNLV is still a team where they might surprise a team or two, like Boise State last year. They played well for 3+ quarters, but could have, or if you look at the first half versus Michigan versus UCLA as well, they played pretty well, but then kind of just faded after that. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, I think it helps too that, you know, you were talking about the running back position. They have all three of their top rushers coming back. Not just Lexington Thomas, but Xavier Campbell and, you know, Keith Whiteley. So obviously we'll see how that competition, how those carries shake out as we go forward too. But, you know, whoever's under center is going to have some help behind them.
All right. So we'll stick in Nevada. Let's go to the Reno section. Is Nevada, that's Northern Nevada, right?
I guess technically speaking, yeah.
Compared to Las Vegas?
Yes.
Okay, we'll stick with Northern Nevada. So most like Fresno State, like Boise State, like so many teams in the league, seems like Utah State, new offensive coordinator in town for Reno because Rolovich is out in Hawaii now. They look to be – they had their spring game. It's going to be James Butler. They have Stewart as their QB. Looking at their spring game, I don't really look at the numbers too much because those can be deceiving. But the ratio looks like they're like overwhelming. They might be actually moving away from the pistol a little bit.
Yeah, I 79 plays overall, right? Mm-hmm. 60 rushes. That's a lot.
Who are you, Air Force?
You might as well be at that point, right?
Navy?
Yeah, because, you know, they, like you said, James Butler, he scored twice. Let's see. Kelton Moore, who probably figures to get a little bit more action this year, had 18 carries, 117 yards. You know, Blake Wright, 8 carries, 63 yards. So it's not only that they were running the ball a lot, they were running the ball pretty successfully.
Yeah, 6 yards a carry.
Yeah, 365 yards as a group. So, you know, that's one of those things where maybe you don't read into a lot of the numbers, but if that's the kind of tone that they want to set, you know, that's something that you can pay attention to as an observer, you know, that maybe they want to move away from, you know, throwing the football a little bit, even though they're going to have guys like Hassan Henderson coming back, you know, but they'll have, you know, guys in the backfield, they'll have a stable that they can lean on and really just pound away.
I did not know Hassan Henderson was back. I thought he was moving on, so that's good for them.
Yeah, it looks like he scored a touchdown and then actually scored twice. So he scored once on a fade and then it says a 30-yard scoring jaunt. I don't know if that means he ran it in or a touchdown. But he scored twice. So, you know, he's going to be back. He's going to probably be the number one receiver. But it's going to be interesting to see what his role is if, you know, when fall practice rolls around and they're continuing to lean on the running game more than the passing game.
Yeah, and he's a guy I felt could be like one of the best receivers in the conference.
Possibly. Like, you can – I mean, if you think – I mean, if you want to project forward, at least – off the top of my head, you know, he could be like a Jalen Robinette type.
Yeah, because he was good 2 years ago. He had decent games, like for Florida State a couple years ago. He had when they played Michigan State this year, I believe he did okay.
Yeah, exactly.
It's especially with returning QB, I figured that would be the case. But yeah, if they're running, moving toward under center more, running the ball a lot, that's a change of pace for them. But they have the experience at receiver and QB to not have to rely on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to watch.
One thing that does not look good for them too well is that they had 14 drives, only 5 touchdowns on those drives.
Yeah, I mean, but maybe that's a credit to the defense, which, as you know, we know, they're losing a lot of their playmakers, especially on the defensive line. So, you know, maybe they gave up a lot on the ground, but
held them when it counted.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, without knowing what a box score looks like or a play-by-play or anything like that. I mean, that's something to keep an eye out for because you know, they're losing guys like Ian Seau and, you know, Rykeem Yates and stuff like that. So, you know, finding guys to really step up and replace those guys is going to be important for them.
We'll see who they have. But it's so it could be a little bit of a different offense in Reno there. One last thing. Let's go to Football Bob.
Football Bob.
Yes. They didn't have their spring game yet. Their quarterback issues are well known in these parts with the quarterback.
Yes.
I thought it was Lamar Jordan to be their primary quarterback.
I thought so too. Apparently not.
Yeah, Austin Apodaca, who came in last year, throwing situations, which, like you said with Kurt Palahniuk, if you're opposite end, throwing quarterback third and 10, what's going to happen? It's a pass. There are two things. You're going to just blitz you like crazy or just play the pass and say, beat our nine defenders dropping back, essentially.
But now, see, football Bob is thinking ahead now. He knows this. Football Bob is not going to go with two quarterbacks. What was it you said?
Three.
Three quarterbacks. Because you know when they say if you have two quarterbacks, you have none, right?
What does three make?
Three means, you know, question mark, question mark, question mark. Who really knows?
I have a question, though. I pulled this up from KOB.com. Title, spring football practice wrapping up for Lobos. Okay, not a big deal. Head coach Bob Davies said fans may see three quarterbacks who play next fall. There's no mention of a third quarterback. You have Lamar Jordan, Austin Apodaca, and then no other name of any other quarterback. Who's the third quarterback, KOB? Lee Faria, who's the third quarterback?
It's probably going to be Juwan Lawson, wouldn't you think? Because, you know, he's a sophomore, so he would be the youngest of the group. But they have two freshmen behind him, so I imagine if it's going to be anybody, it's going to be Lawson.
It would be, but you mentioned three QBs. Where's the third quarterback? What if it's some random person who they're like, okay, my team plays in Mexico. Who's the third guy? I need to know. And so it's
maybe it'll be a different third guy every week.
Possibly. Do they still have is Carlos Wiggins still on the team?
I think he might have graduated.
Finally, the wide receiver. Yeah, is that the wide receiver who I love so much that never got the ball?
Yeah, exactly. No, he's gone, but you know, obviously they're going to probably have someone lined up to take two or three kicks back for scores this year because it seems to be what they always do.
Yeah, so I just thought that was interesting. Their spring games, we'll have an update from one of our guys next couple of days, but that's what we got. So this show will be for me in about 20 minutes. It'll be exciting to put together later since we had some technical issues throughout the show, but when Chris joined us. No, it's not your fault. My mic came up like twice and stops recording. So yeah. I'll blame one of them on you. Is that okay? I'll take two. Take that, one.
That's more than fair.
More than fair. So we had Chris join us chatting about a little bit of stuff. I want to talk about satellite camps, but we'll get to that later. So say it's stupid because NCAA hates athletes, apparently, kids. But we'll get to that later. So for the next little while, we'll have some NFL draft stuff, wrapped up spring, maybe some NBA draft stuff. But got Matthew Kennerly there, who's very busy with his MFA stuff in Fresno. Doing good things, it sounds like. Is that correct?
Trying to.
That's a good word to put it. So
that's the operative word.
The operative word. Doing well. So also, hey, what are you doing with the football team? Has something happened beyond that, or is it just you get normal access and kind of do what you want with that?
Well, apparently they gave me the same kind of media access that they give to everybody else in the local media.
Okay.
So beyond that, it's up to me to kind of create stories out of thin air.
Okay. Hey, that's how it works sometimes. Yeah. No worries. I just want to update so people know that you kind of are in there to do a few things. So just want to.
You can expect my New York Times bestseller to hit bookshelves like 3.5 years from now.
Can you? You should. This would be the best thing ever. You need a quarterback book about Fresno State. Just for the past couple of years, the quarterback.
The long and storied history of teams using five quarterbacks in a season.
Fresno State blazed the trail with unsuccessful seasons and injuries, incompetence, and a quick hook by Dave Schramm started it all.
Exactly.
All right, so that's our show tonight. Check us out, MWCConnection.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes. I started using Pocket Cast. Go try that one out. That's a pretty good app as well for podcasts. So, yeah, we'll see you next time. We'll start these back up probably about every week, and Matt will be joining me, Chris will be joining us, and maybe somebody else. So have a good night, and hope you this is a good surprise for you Monday morning.